From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a series in the Book of Acts as he proceeds with a message entitled The Meaning of Pentecost. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection known as Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Acquiring Perseverance. The text is Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 22. The Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee by little and little. We are not to expect to win victories for the Lord Jesus by a single blow. Evil principles and practices die hard. In some places, it takes years of labor to drive out even one of the many vices which defile the inhabitants. We must carry on the war with all our might, even when favored with little manifest success. Our business in this world is to conquer it for Jesus. We are not to make compromises, but to exterminate evils. We are not to seek popularity, but to wage unceasing war with iniquity. Infidelity, popery, drink, impurity, oppression, worldliness, error, these are all to be put out. The Lord our God can alone accomplish this. He works by his faithful servants, and blessed be his name, he promises that he will so work. Jehovah thy God will put out those nations before thee. This he will do by degrees, that we may learn perseverance, may increase in faith, may earnestly watch, and may avoid carnal security. Let us thank God for a little success, and pray for more. Let us never sheathe the sword, till the whole land is won for Jesus. Courage, my heart, go on little by little, for many littles will make a great whole. Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. The opening verses of Acts chapter 2 record the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. This was a day which changed the course of history. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Meaning of Pentecost, which is revealed in Peter's words found in verses 12 through 21 of the chapter. Peter reminded the gathered multitude that what they were witnessing was the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel chapter 2, where God promised that in the last days he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. The outpouring of the Spirit was, first of all, supernatural, for only Almighty God could do it. Furthermore, the workings and evidences of the Holy Spirit are always scriptural. Spiritual experience must always be tested by what the Word of God says, for the Spirit never works contrary to the Word. Now to continue this message, The Meaning of Pentecost, here is Dr. Cairns.
First of all, what meaneth this? What's the answer? As to its source, it is supernatural. That's the first thing Peter sets out. You will notice what he says in verse 15. These are not drunken. I want you to get the full significance of that. These are not drunken. In other words, this is not the product of the flesh. What you have seen and what you have heard today, says Peter, is not produced human endeavor, and it is not to be explained by an examination of the minds or of the talents of the men who stood up to speak. I think this is one of the greatest mistakes that even commentators and sometimes even so-called fundamental and evangelical preachers will make. When they come to explain these things, they will have a minute description of Peter. My friend, let me tell you, Peter was an instrument here, but you can examine Peter as much as you like. It will not explain what happened on the day of Pentecost. You can examine the disciples as much as you like. And we have already looked at them and their prayer meeting, and that's an important key in leading up to the day of Pentecost. But at the end of it all, we have got to say, when we have looked at the men, when we have looked at their methods, we are no nearer to understanding what this is. For the real answer is, as to its source, this is supernatural. It is not of man. It is of God. This, as we'll see more fully in a moment, is God stepping down into the arena of human affairs. This is God interposing his own power and his own purpose in what men are doing. This is God sweeping man aside and saying, I am pouring out my Spirit in my power for my purpose and for my glory. It is supernatural. It's interesting that these men said that the disciples were full of new or sweet wine. Because the Apostle Paul, in writing to the Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 18, says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. And the word excess there is interesting. It is the same word as is used in the prodigal son story, where he spent his substance in riotous living. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess or riotous living. But be ye filled with the Spirit. And it is obvious immediately that there is a very clear comparison between a man being filled with wine and being filled with the Spirit. And yet there is a very clear contrast between the two. Now then, let's just for a moment think of that. Don't be filled with wine. Let's take that absolutely at its face value for a start. No Christian should be a wine bibber. No Christian should ever be drunk either with wine or with anything else that the world is giving. I very much doubt if a man gets drunk whether he knows much of the other spirit or he knows much of the Lord. That's the first thing. Be not drunk with wine. No Christian ought to be marked by riotous living. No Christian ought to be marked by a kind of life that is an expression of carnality. No Christian's life should be a self-centered, carnal life. Now, unfortunately, there are Christians who are carnal. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and he says, ye are yet carnal. And I say this to you, that while a Christian is living in the expression of carnality, he will never be spiritually useful to God. There is no spiritual power in a carnal man. Now, he may be a great organizer, he may be a great orator, he may be a great preacher, he may be a great anything, but he is nothing as far as spiritual power is concerned. For spiritual power does not come from human abilities. It will not come through the expression of the carnal nature. Be not drunk with wine, he says. But he says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, why does he link those two things together in that way? Well, you think of it for a moment. What happens when a man gets drunk? What happens? Takes in this, either the wine or the spirits, takes it in, takes possession of them. First of all, you will notice that man by the way he talks. I had an uncle, and I don't say this boastfully, this is nothing to boast about, but it's just a matter of fact. I had an uncle. It was practically impossible to drink him drunk, in the sense that he'd be staggering all over the show. That could be done only with great difficulty. I used to have a brother in the police force. He used to talk about my uncle coming up the road late at night. He would never drive, at least that sense. Coming up the road late at night, having drunk all night nothing but neat whiskey. Get a young policeman, take him on in, all these dens of iniquity you can go to, and drink him absolutely stone, stupid drunk, and he would walk on home. Now, I have seen him having drunk men absolutely drunk. When they were drinking ale and he was drinking whiskey, and he left them like babbling children. And I have seen him, for he was an army officer, walk down the street as straight as if he were on the parade ground. But I could always tell when he was drunk. First thing that betrayed him was the way he talked. The way he talked. He talked intelligently. He talked very rationally. But you could always tell. Now listen. When a man is filled with the Holy Ghost, he'll not need to run around trumpeting, "I got filled with the Spirit on such and such an occasion." In fact, it's most remarkable that that kind of testimony is not to be found in the Word of God. He doesn't need to run around trumpeting that, for as soon as he opens his mouth, you'll know it. Secondly, when a man gets drunk, it affects the way he thinks. A man's thoughts are totally different when he's drunk. In fact, that's why most of the fools get drunk. He thinks he's different. He sees things differently. He approaches things differently. Because there's a new spirit in possession of him. Now, it's the wrong spirit. And he looks at things wrongly. But nonetheless, the analogy holds good that when a man gets filled with the Holy Ghost, he's going to think of things altogether differently. He's going to walk differently. You know the drunkard's walk. I wonder, are we as well acquainted with the man who's filled with the Spirit and his walk? Let me say this. We must have a mighty experience of God that is just as real as the drunkard's experience of his booze. We have got to repudiate all that is carnal, all that has its roots in self. We have got to turn aside from all hope in what man is or what man can do. And we have got to cry, "Lord, we need a Pentecost, something whose source is supernatural, something that has its beginning in God." It's the first thing we need. As to its source, supernatural. What meaneth this? As to its character. Verse 16, it is scriptural. Now, I want to emphasize this particularly for a moment or two. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And I say this, and especially for every young Christian, indeed for every Christian who's seeking for God's best, because when a Christian is seeking for God's best, they are always prone to be led astray by the devil's counterfeit. I've seen it happen again and again. One of the saddest interviews I ever had was with a missionary who had gone to the south of Ireland, and in my opinion was the best missionary the south of Ireland has seen in the 20th century. A man of holiness, a man of God, a man of grace, a man of courage, a man who stood in the fairs of rural Ireland when they were hurling eggs and potatoes and tomatoes and other more dangerous missiles at him, when the priests were whipping them up into a frenzy and his life was endangered. And yet he stood. He desired God's blessing and he desired God's best. And one of the saddest interviews I ever had was to hear him say that he had been led astray into the Pentecostal nonsense and into almost the charismatic nonsense, while he didn't hold with the charismatic movement. In fact, he wrote against it. His bookshops were selling charismatic literature. My, what a tragedy. You see, there is a rule here. Any experience that God has for you will be scriptural. That's the first thing. Anything we are going to have in our lives, anything we are going to do in our lives, any plans we're going to make in our lives, in God's name, let us be careful, let us be sure that they are scriptural. And I say this to you this morning. If my doctrine doesn't tally with scripture, it must be scrapped. If my walk doesn't tally with scripture, it must be changed. If my experience doesn't tally with scripture, then it is wrong. Let's not trim the scriptures to tally with our experience. Rather, let us bring our own lives by the grace of God into line with the scripture of truth. As to its character, it is scriptural. Now, you'll see what he said. This is that. That seems a strange phrase, and I must say that every time I read it, and I'm not now expounding the passage at all, but every time I read it, it does give me hope. Because when I was a little boy, I once got a book with the title, This Is That. And that book, I probably still have it somewhere. If I don't, I need to be kicked, for I should have it. That book is always an encouragement to me. It's the story of God's dealings in the Belgian Congo before Patrice Lumumba was ever dreamed of, and before the communists ever had a chance to try and take over. When the missionaries were still there, God was forming a church, seeing well the day was coming when the missionaries would be excluded, to leave a church that could thrive under the most intense persecution. And I read the story of how African Christians, some of them couldn't read or write, but oh, they could pray. And God answered prayer. Oh, they could pray and the fire fell. This is that was the story of the Congo revival. I have missionary friends who were in the Congo during that revival. And I well remember one of them saying, he said, those Christians used to make us afraid. For us, well, we would go and we would pray. Western missionaries, you know, we would go and we would pray. And we would be oh so decorous, and we would have everything hedged about with the ifs and the buts, so that there was always a loophole if God didn't answer. But he said, those Christians, especially one man who couldn't read a word, and what's more, when he went to school, could not be taught to read a word. The missionary teachers gave him up as the most hopeless case in Congo, but he took his Bible and he went under the tree and he pleaded the promise of God, and day by day he cried to God, and God taught him to read. Made him one of the most powerful preachers in Congo. He said, those people used to go and they got a promise from God, and they just lifted it up as a child would come with an open face and an open heart and open hands to his father and say, Lord, you've promised this, now do it. And he says the amazing thing was they never doubted that God would do it, and God did it. And the great Congo revival did not come through the missionaries. Now, I'm not saying that it was a missionary who said that. The great Congo revival did not come through the missionaries. Came through the converts. That always encourages me. This is that. God still moves in this day and age through a people who know how to pray. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.